Let's all say amen.
Amen.
And as the song we just finished singing, we'll hope that we're going that way. Amen. And part of going that way is worshiping God. He has commanded, and we want to do those things that the Lord has said. The Bible teaches us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The Bible says, "And there continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer." I want us to know that, again, when we assemble, our purpose this morning is to worship God. But I want us to understand that when we look at that, of those five acts that we find, the Bible talks about fellowship, mm-hmm. and in breaking of bread, mm-hmm. and in prayer. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want us to just to remind us, when we assemble to worship God, four of those five acts that we participate in is toward God. Yeah, is toward God. And so we see a fellowship of when we give a share with the Lord, what the Lord has blessed us with, we're giving back to God. When we commune, take the Lord's Supper, we are communing with God. When we pray, we offer prayers to God. When we sing, we are giving praise to God. And I want us to understand that the apostles' doctrine, our teaching is for us. Yeah, that's the only part, worship, that is designed for us. And so when we come to worship, we have to set our minds that I want to hear from the Word of God, that the Word of God is able to help me to be better in this life. Yeah. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, we had one soul on last week, want us to know clearly that no one is a child of God until the Lord adds you to the church. Yeah. And the Bible teaches us from the verse as daily as such as should be saved. So no one is saved from their past sins until they obey God. It's my responsibility at the close of my message. You hear this morning, and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, not a member of the Lord's church. It's my responsibility to share with you exactly what God has commanded, that you may be added to the Lord's church. You are not, no one is going that way until they obey God. Amen? Amen? The age of accountability. So this morning, we're in Titus, continuing that letter. And I want us to look at this letter this morning. We conclude what is referred to as chapter 1. And I want to use as a subject title on this morning, because I'm talking to me and I'm talking to each of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paul wrote to Titus and said, they profess that they knew or know God. They profess that they know God. And so we want to open this up and again, look at those things. But we want to make sure that we understand that anytime we read the Word of God, yeah, this Word of God that we're reading today is applicable and is for October 15, 2023. We can apply this today, even though it was written in. Yeah, so as a student of the Word of God, I have to be mindful that the things that I'm sharing, again, I'm sharing it with, to myself first. When I was preparing the message, now I'm serving the Word of God to you, that you can make application to the Word of God. Because we're going to see in the text, there are some things that we find, these people were Christians that Paul talked about. They were Christian, but I want us to understand when we refer to ourselves, we can profess that we're Christian, but there has to be some substance to what we do. So picking up, we talked in the beginning of this letter about that Paul had left Titus. He was the preacher. He left the preacher there in the, on the Isle of Crete, and his responsibility was to set things in order. Yeah, he's the spiritual leadership that Paul left there to set things in order. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about Paul to setting things in order. He gave him two action items. In verse 5, also to ordain elders. Yeah. And as I said before, I want to stay on record. We need men that desire to serve as elders. And it begins by understanding, we preached on last week, what the work of an elder is. And so before I become anything, I have to develop myself. Yeah, so those responsibilities coincide with being elder. We need men to say, Brother Stroud, I'm interested in learning about eldership qualities. That's my desire. We need men here that want to serve the Lord in that capacity. Amen? And so on this morning, they profess that they know God. Yeah. Paul began or continued the letter as now, after talking to Titus about setting things in order and then giving the qualifications of eldership, now he moves to the congregation itself. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. So Paul said in the text, there were many of those that were Christians. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said they were unruly. Unruly means refusing to follow instructions from the Lord. Yeah, you had members that won't do what the Bible says. But also you had those that are vain talkers. Vain talkers is idle talk, or whatever they're saying has no spiritual value.
All right.
Then he said you had those that are deceivers, to make someone believe something is not true. Yeah. There could be some here whose ideas and opinions don't line up with the Word of God. Yeah. And if allowed, it can corrupt the peace in this congregation. Yeah. So you got to be mindful of those. You have to be mindful of the student. When you have those that don't want to do what the Bible says, those that their conversation is not about spiritual stuff, and those that want to tell you stuff that's not true. And Paul said, especially those that were Jews. And then Paul told Titus what you have to do. He says, whose mouths must be stopped.
Amen.
Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. So Paul says here, those individuals that we're talking about, he said, you have to put their mouths to silence. Why, Paul? Because they can subvert, and the word subvert means to turn over entire houses. If you're not careful, those individuals that's doing those things can turn whole houses around.
Hmm.
Teaching things that they ought not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Paul said in this case they were doing it for filth and lucre's sake. Those individuals, or these individuals, can negatively affect the house of God.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they can. Paul even spoke to the fact that, and one of themselves, Paul said, even a prophet of their own said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. So he was talking, these are Christians now.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about. And he said, you got some of them that they're always lying.
Huh.
Yeah. And the word evil beast here means they're cruel, they're mean, they're violent. You have some in the church of the Lord that are mean people. They just mean. Their mouths have to be stopped. And he says, slow bellies, or bellies talking about when they're gluttonous. They'll just eat it and eat and just do anything. Yeah. But I want to share with us. That was the character of them. This also can be our character. I can be a Christian and not be converted. Yeah. Get your Bibles. Turn to Luke 22. Won't you see it in the Bible? Let us use our Bibles a little bit. Yeah. Luke chapter 22. I want us to see that even though Peter was with Jesus, notice what Jesus said, and I want us to see the elements of this. In Luke 22 and verse number 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I want every one of us to understand the devil wants each one of us.
Yes, he does.
He has a desire for each and one of us, and he wants to just sift us. Yeah, and sometimes the devil gets to rattling our cage, and if we're not careful, we'll give in. But note what he says in verse 32. Jesus told Peter, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith
fail not.
Notice what he told him. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brother. I'm saying to us, I can obey the Lord, I can become a Christian, but I have not been converted. These individuals we're talking about in Titus chapter 1, these individuals, and I want us to see this, I can be a Christian. And I can have, we'll use the text they gave. I can, before I obeyed the Lord, I lied all the time. You know, I lied so much I fooled myself. Yeah. Yeah, that was my behavior. I lied, but they said they were liars. So I can become a Christian, and if I don't change, I'll continue to lie while I'm in the Lord. Yeah. Because that's my learned behavior. Yeah. If I was stealing and I come in, even though I got baptized, that is for the remission of my past sin. But again, I have to change my behavior.
Right.
So Paul was saying here, you had Christians here, they had not changed. Some of us are still doing the same thing we was doing years ago. Yeah. We haven't been converted. And people ought to see in your lives change in your behavior. Show you where that happens. Look in First Timothy. Show you that. First Timothy. Yeah. First Timothy. Yeah, First Timothy. And chapter number 4, verse 15. Let me show you what Paul told Titus, or told Timothy, that behavior has to be seen. First Timothy 4 and 15. Paul told Timothy, he said, meditate upon these things, the things that he had just told him. Yeah, he told him, I said, verse 13, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. Yeah, we need to give attendance to more reading and exhorting and to teaching. He says, now give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting, that word means progress, may appear to all. People ought to be able to see in our lives change in our behavior. They ought to be able to see change in us. Yeah, Paul said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear you. We got to change. Yeah. I got to look at myself and I got to see. Paul was saying here to those people, you had those that were mean and they still mean. You had those that lie and they still lying. There's not no change in them. Yeah. And again, my title, I'm going to get to that in verse 16. But Paul was identifying behaviors that we all have, behaviors that were not consistent with the will of God before we came into the church. We got to work on that. How do I work on that, Brother Stroud? I'm glad you asked that question. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Watch what he says now. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. Then he told them, let us run with patience the race that is set before. The race we have is the race for heaven. Yeah. Today, Christians have what is referred to in the scriptures as besetting sins. These types of sins can cause the Christian to lose confidence and hope if not addressed by scripture. What do I mean by besetting sin? Well, the word beset means constantly present and near to you. All of us have those sins that are always going to be near us. No matter where we go, no matter what we do. If I'm a person that I'm a drinker, I'm going to always, and I had a problem with drinking, that's going to stay with me possibly forever. That's called a besetting sin. It's always near. Yeah. I have them, you have them. No. There are things that no matter how long you live, you're going to always struggle with this issue.
All right.
Unless I address it through the word of God.
Right.
It's called a besetting sin. Yeah, that's what he said, besetting. It's, notice, it's constantly present. So those individuals that were liars, those mean, they're all, that's always going to be with them because you so used to lying, you lie to yourself. You tell yourself lies and start believing it. That's called a besetting sin. And so what I'm saying to each of us, I have to look at myself. When I listen to the word of God, as I'm listening to the word of God, I have to make application. So I have to ask myself, what are the things in life right now that I struggle with in my Christian walk? What are the things that I have always had issues with in my life? Those are called besetting sins. Notice now, there's a difference in the text now. Paul said that you have things that's a weight. Now, a weight can become a sin, but a weight is not a sin. That's why he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Notice what he said, which do so easily beset us. So I have to look at Horace Stroud. And I have to look at those challenges in my life which can easily beset me. And I have to go and find in the word of God, how do I address these things that are called besetting sins? So Paul was identifying those in the text that had besetting sin and they had not addressed them. There was an issue that we have because sometimes we can walk around and not know that if the word of God is not helping us, then I'm not the Christian I'm supposed to be. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Show you how Paul gave a prescription How does that work, Brother Straub? How does that work? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. You know, not only do we want to give the prescription, but identify the diagnosis, but give me the prescription. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians 4:17. He said, "This I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind." Remember, Jesus said about the Gentile, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. Sometimes, for some of us as Christians, all we're concerned about is what we're going to get and what we're going to have. Yeah, that's the Gentile walk. Notice what Paul said, verse 18. "Having their understanding darkened," we're going to talk about the mind in a minute, "being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." So sometimes I can be a Christian from the text, and I don't know that I'm a Christian, but what I have done, I am alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in me. Yeah. And also I allow my heart to be blind. And Paul said, "Who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with God." Now watch the answer to this. "But you have not so learned" who?
Christ.
Yeah. He said, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man." That's that person that's lying and being mean and hateful. "Put that person off, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." You got to change your mind. "And that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Watch this here. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Yeah, that's how I change. The word of God has to change me, but it has to be a part of me. I have to renew my mind. Renew my mind that I do what God has said to do. Yeah. So Paul said, verse 13, notice what he said. Now, he's acknowledging the fact that this is factual. He said, "This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith." So now, he told the preacher, he said, "Now, you got members that are lying, hateful, mean." He said, "I know this, the word witness of me, and this testimony is true." And he told Paul, or told Titus, excuse me, Paul told Titus, "This is how you deal with it. Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith." Now, let me say this. Sometimes, when you have cancerous behavior, it must be removed, and many times it can be painful. Yeah. Sometimes it hurt. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Use our Bibles this morning. Matthew chapter 5, and let us see, Jesus said this. He identified it. Matthew 5 and verse 29. Yeah. Notice what Jesus said. He was using this metaphorically. He says, "And if thy right eye," Matthew 5:29, "and if thy right eye offend thee," he says, "pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell." Yeah, there's some behaviors that we got to cut it out. And sometimes it's painful. Some of the stuff we've been doing here, it's painful to get rid of it. But if it's cancerous, you have to get rid of it, or you're not going to live. Either cut it out, or you're going to be cast into hell. And he said, and if our right eye offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell.
That's right.
So Paul says, there are times when you're dealing with members. Yeah. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 12. That you have to deal with them. Paul said, rebuke them sharply. Yeah. And why are you sharply now, Paul? Because he says in 2 Corinthians, I'm in chapter 13. I want to show you how this process works. So sometimes you have members, you go to them in love. Say, brother, you know, you doing this, this has to stop. You know, I love you, and this behavior that you presenting is not peaceful behavior. Yeah. You causing mess in the church.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me see. Hold on right now. Sometimes you got to go to sisters. Because sisters can start mess in the church also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of us are just messy. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, in verse 1, when he's talking about dealing with stuff sharply,
mm-hmm.
he said, this is the third time
I'm coming to you.
And now I'm doing it in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word may be established. Sometimes you go to people and you say, brother, sister, talk to you about, you know, behavior, actions and stuff. You don't see no change. Go to him again. Talk to him again. Behavior still don't change. Now I'm going to get two or three witnesses that every word may be established. Paul said in verse number 2,
I told you before,
and I foretell you as if I am present. Paul wasn't with them that time. He said the second time. And being absent now, he said, I'm writing. Now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to come and to all other. Let me go back and read that. Let me take my time on that. Paul said, I told you before and foretell you, as if I am present the second time. He said, I'm writing this to you as though I'm present the second time. He said, now I'm being absent now. I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again,
I will not spare.
That's that rebuking sharply. I came to you once, tried to talk to you in love. Came to you a second time. There. You still gonna persist in your behavior. Next time I come to you, I'm gonna have two or three witnesses. That every word be established. After that, I have to deal with you. Yeah. That's why Paul said, rebuke them sharply. You can't allow nobody to just keep doing what they want to do and disrupting the church, and they want to persist in their behavior. It's going
to
stop. It's going to stop. I'm going to come to you in love. But I'm going back to the text. Paul said, wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Why are you doing it, Paul? That they may be sound in faith. I'm trying to correct you. I'm trying to help you go to heaven. The purpose is to restore one to faithfulness to God. Yeah. So I'm saying openly to all of us. And if the shoe fit me, it applies to me. Yeah. It applies to all of us here. When we're out, notice the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, they were in sin. You were doing stuff that's sinful. Lying on people. Being messy. Talking about people. Gossiping. Getting in your corners. You want to talk about something. Let me say this to the church here. You know, because we got, I don't know, we got members here that think think they work for the Chronicle. I don't know why they feel they report, everybody report to them. Yeah, we have those members here. Well, they coming to me, and they coming to, tell them to come to me.
No.
I'm the one preaching.
Amen.
And we got these, I don't know, you think who we, well, you know, people are coming to me, and people are talking to me. And I'm telling you, tell them, have you talked to Brother Stroud?
There you go. There you go.
He preached it. Yeah, send them to me.
Take it to the
source. Yeah. And so what was it that you didn't understand about what I preached? Because I try to make it simple, logical, and everybody can get it.
Everybody.
I don't get up here and try to use no big words, no Greek words. And no, no, I'm going to get it so I can understand it.
There you go.
And that you can understand it. But when you have these members, like I said, not to anybody, you can call me anytime. If you have a question, call me. Buster, I have a question about this here. What you got, brother? What you got, sister?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And the purpose for doing it, don't miss this. The reason for correcting their behavior, Paul said, to make them sound in faith.
Mm-hmm.
He said, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Paul was saying, be careful when people, they had Jewish stories they were telling that's not true. They get to telling stories. Sometimes people start telling stories. Yeah, that's not true. And then be careful that you're not following the commandments of men. Yeah. Give me book, chapter, and Paul said, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing pure. But even, notice what he said, their mind and their conscience is defiled. The word pure here means, he's talking about your heart having a clean heart. Yeah. Clean heart. We have to try to filter our heart with the word of God that cleanses it out. Yeah. But he said, understand this here. You have those who are defiled and unbelieving, and to them ain't nothing pure. They always got complaints. They always complain about something. That's them. Why, Paul? He said, because their mind and their conscience is defiled. Yeah. Remember now, our conscience is designed to govern our lives. As a man thinketh in his heart.
So is he.
Yeah. As I've heard said, you're not who you think you are. You are what you think. What you mean, Brother Stroud? If I'm sitting around and I'm just watching pornography and all that stuff here, that's who I am. Yeah. If I'm doing stuff that's not consistent with the Word of God, that's who I am. And what I have to learn from the Word of God, I have to be able to overcome those appetites. We all have them. We all have them. But we got to work on ourselves.
Yeah.
We got to work on ourselves. And Paul said, as I close, my title here, they profess that they knew God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Let me work there a minute. Paul said, one may claim to be a Christian, a child of God. However, the test is, but in works they deny him.
Mm-hmm.
We all ought to be serving the Lord.
Yes.
And I said this in our brother's meeting yesterday, and I want to be clear on this here, crystal clear. If I'm a member of this congregation and I am healthy and I I'm choosing to worship at home. That's sinful.
There you go.
Yeah. How do I measure that, Brother Stroud? Well, if I'm able to go to work, if I'm able to go to the store,
all
right, if I'm able to go other places, why won't the one place God has commanded you to come? Why you won't come there? Yeah. Look in 1 Corinthians 11. You'll see this when I come back up this afternoon, this morning. Yeah, I want you to see that in the Bible. You know, sometimes people like to go to Hebrews 12, forsaking not the assembly. No, I'm going to go there. I want to share what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. Yeah. Share that with us because we have members here that are comfortable at home. And I'm not talking to those that are sick and shut in. Mm-hmm. That's the purpose of having the conference call. For those individuals that because of their health, they can't assemble with us. We still want them to worship God. But notice what Paul said, wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11 and 20. When ye come together, therefore in how many places?
One place.
This is the place. Yeah. Now we can assemble out in the parking lot. One place. Yeah. So we're supposed to assemble. We don't have to be in a building. That's just a luxury we have. Yeah, that we're able to come in and be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But the command is to assemble in one place.
No.
And I'm saying to those Christians out there, especially those, well, I'm talking to any of us, but if you are healthy and you're sitting at home for your convenience, you're in error. God has commanded one place. This is the place Highland Heights is designated. So I want to encourage us that we assemble.
That's right.
Paul said here, they have been abominable. And abominable has to do with the word hateful behavior. Remember Jesus, the Lord said through Solomon in Proverbs 6:16, he said there's six things that I hate. Yeah, that's something God can hate our behavior. Let me read that in Proverbs 6:16. Sure, I'm in the right text. Yeah. The Lord can hate our behavior. That's what he said about abominable. Yeah. Solomon wrote, these six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in the running mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hate that. God hate it. When he was talking about abominable, he's talking about hateful behavior. Then he said those that are disobedient, they are unwilling to be persuaded to do what's right. You know, you talk to them and they still don't want to do what's right. That's disobedience. He said, not only that, when it comes to good work, they reject good work. And I'm saying to Highland Heights, we need to get working. We need to get working. We need to get working. Yeah, we want to, as a brother said so well yesterday, we have two responsibilities. One is to keep the saved saved, then to save those that are lost. Yeah, that's our mission. When we stop doing that, we may as well just keep the doors closed. Yeah, that's our mission here. That's our mission. We want to do it based on what we find in the scriptures. Amen?
Amen?
So again, Paul said, they profess. I'm saying to each of us, including myself, don't just profess that you know God. It should be shown in your works. Am I faithful? How can I say that, Pastor? Am I faithful to worship service? Am I faithful? Am I active? And I'm talking about all and each of us. We need to be involved in one of the four ministries to whatever level you can.
No.
Well, Brother Stroud, I'm not able to get around and do things. Well, we have a ministry called Special Needs. One of the things they do, they reach out to people. Can you call someone? Can you encourage them? Can you check on them? I can do that. That's your ministry. Yeah. And those of us that have skill sets that we can use, we offer them to the world, offer them to the Lord. Yeah. Brother said yesterday, we have brothers that I'll teach everywhere else, but I come here, I don't want to teach nobody. Yeah. But I need somebody to help me to teach you how to teach. The brothers have said education, Brother Whitaker, Brother Floyd, they have an outline that can help you to learn how to teach. We need teachers here. But we can expand our classes, but we need teachers, more people wanting to teach. Amen? Yeah. Let's not just profess that we know God. Let's show. And understand this here. God know our behavior. God know us through and through. Again, I'm encouraging us and even myself. Let's not just give lip service to the Lord. Let's make it a part of who we are. Amen? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you know, sometimes we have people sitting in the audience, and I've had a case that you have people that come and they've been coming for a long time, every Sunday, never knowing they've never obeyed the Lord. So I'm talking to you at this time. You become a Christian. The Bible talks about five acts that one does to become a Christian. The first thing you have to do, you have to hear the word of God. Yeah, hear that God has said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, there are three facts that you must hear. One, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Number two, he was buried in a tomb. Number three, he rose from the dead. You have to believe that. Okay, I heard that, Brother Stroud. I do believe that. What else must I do? Then you must confess what you now believe in your heart. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God is his Father. He's the Son. Mm-hmm. Must confess that. A brother did last week. You hear the gospel, believe the gospel. Before that, you got to repent of your sins.
That's right.
The way you've been living now has not been in keeping with the will of God. No matter what you've been doing, you have not been in line with the word of God. Repentance means you turn to God. Then you make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then we will water baptize you for the forgiveness of all your past sin. What that means is that when you go down in that watery grave of baptism, God forgive you for every sin that you've ever done. Because the blood, by faith, the blood of Christ is in the water. And it cleanses you of all your past sin. When you come up out of the water, you come up a new creature. Now you are a Christian according to the Bible. Yeah, Christian is not denominational. Yeah. Yeah. We're undenominational. We're not non-denominational. We're un. Yeah. So if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, again, they professed that they knew God. But I'm saying to all of us, we have to get busy and we have to have works. That Paul said, in works they deny him. I'm saying to each of us, to whatever level you can, be active in the church of the Lord. Amen? If you'll stand, I have our brother lead us in a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.